There's a story that's told about an individual who came home one night after shul. He came home for supper in the middle of the days of Sfiras HaOmer. And he asked his wife, "What's for dinner?" And his wife was very smart. She thought before answering. And she said, "Last night we ate the following," knowing that the halacha is, when somebody asks you what night of Sfira it is, you're not supposed to say, you're supposed to respond what yesterday was. So the truth is that this practice that just about everybody knows, and when I say everybody, I mean literally everybody knows, when somebody asks you that question, what night of Sfira is, you never say what night of Sfira is. Last night, it got a little bit tricky, because out of all 49 days of Sfira, that's the night that most people mess up on. When everyone comes home from shul last night and said, "Oh wow, it's already Lag BaOmer, whoops, I forgot to count Sfira, and now you can't make a bracha anymore." So I thought we would talk a little bit about how realistic that concern is, but I don't want to talk so much about Sfira, not even that much about Lag BaOmer, but I want to use it as a little bit of a springboard to talk about the notion of kavanah, of intent, when a person does a mitzvah. One could argue that this entire chumrah, this entire practice of not saying what night it is really not necessary. And the reason being, when I answer the question what night it is, or when I say today is Lag BaOmer, I didn't mean to fulfill the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, which opens up for us a very fundamental question about what role intent, concentration, or kavana has in terms of performing mitzvahs. We know that mitzvahs primarily are actions. I eat matzah, I shake a lulav, I put on tefillin, recite kiddush. Most mitzvahs involve either a literal physical action or verbal words. But yet there's a second aspect of mitzvahs called kavana, what I'm having in mind. And that's really what I want to speak about a little bit today. What exactly are the halachic parameters of kavana for mitzvahs? What are we supposed to be thinking when we're doing mitzvahs? What perhaps are we not supposed to be thinking when we're doing mitzvahs? And what role intent and kavanah plays on a day-in, day-out performance of mitzvahs? I think that this topic is particularly apropos in the world that we live in today. We live in a world where perhaps one of the greatest challenges is being able to stay focused, to be able to pay attention. I mean, just look around us and you'll see your average person is at any given moment answering two texts at the same time, usually on the phone, and getting an email, and doing a sort of other things. Sometimes that's trying to drive the car, but we're not going to advocate that. And as such, we live in a world where we're bombarded with so many different messages and so much information that it's hard for us, to use a good old phrase, the health cup, it's hard for us to pay attention to what we're really supposed to be paying attention. And I think that this challenge poses for us a very unique opportunity in the realm of Shemiras HaMitzvos. What should we be thinking about? What should we be focusing on? What does the halacha actually require of us to be thinking about at the time when we do mitzvahs? So let's go through the sugya like we've done in the past, going back to the Gemara and the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch, and to try to see from a halachic vantage point what kavanah is really all about. And then hopefully we'll have some time at the end to some ideas, some thoughts in terms of machshava, where we should put this in terms of our practical observance of mitzvahs. So the sugya begins with the first of the Ma'ar Mekamos. It's a sugya in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Daf Kof Ches Amud Beis, starts in Amud Aleph, goes on to Amud Beis. The sugya, although it appears in Rosh Hashanah, believe it or not, happens to be starting off to talk about Achilas Matzah. Probably the last thing on anybody's mind at this point, even those few couple of pieces of matzahs left over, we're probably finished Pesach Sheni time, so we have a couple of pieces left, some have a minute to keep on going until Shavuos, but bottom line is, matzah is pretty much over for us, but we're still going to learn the sugya. I remember when I was in 11th grade, so we were learning Maseches Pesachim at Yeshiva, and it was really exciting as we got closer to Pesach, and we were learning all the sugyas of chametz and matzah, and really it was geschmack. And then the real challenge was, after Pesach was over, we came back to Yeshiva, and the Rebbe's talking about bedikas chametz and bitul chametz, and the guys are starting to yawn, and like, you know, what does that have to do with it? And then the Rebbe gave us a big speech about Torah Lishma. Torah Lishma means, even when it's not relevant anymore, l'maisa, Pesach's over, we go with the same excitement to learn the sugyas of matzah 3 weeks after Pesach as we do a week before Pesach. So, with that in mind, we're going to start off a little bit with a sugya about Pesach. The first in the Ma'ar Mekamos, Sholchulei li'avua di Shmuel. A message was sent to the father of Shmuel, Kofo v'ochol matzah yotza. If a person was forced to eat matzah, so he fulfills the mitzvah. So apparently he wasn't all that interested in eating the matzah. and he can still fulfill the mitzvah. So the Gemara has some technical question as to what exactly that means. What does it mean practically to be forced to fulfill matzah? So the Gemara finally concludes, if you skip down to the second line, shekafu parsiim. That means the non-Jews, for some very strange reason, forced the person to eat matzah. I read this Gemara many, many times. I can't figure out for the life of me why in the world the goyim were forcing the person to eat matzah. So whatever it was, the person was forced to eat matzah. So Amar Rava, Rava comes and makes the following extrapolation. Zos Omeres, from here we derive, Hatokel Lishir Yatzah. If a person blows shofar and wasn't particularly interested in performing the mitzvah, he's blowing shofar because he likes the sound. He's blowing his trumpets, he likes practicing for the orchestra, so he fulfills the mitzvah of shofar as well. So the Gemara makes the jump from matzah that was eaten without the intent to shofar that was blown without the intent. So if we skip down a little bit to the last line of that source, Almakas of a Rava, mitzvos ain't trichos kavana. Rava's opinion clearly is that one can fulfill a mitzvah even though the person wasn't particularly interested in doing it. He did the action. Rava's focusing on the action. Lamaisa, physically, practically, he ate the matzah. Physically, practically, he heard the shofar. It doesn't really concern us all that much what his intent was. This is subscribing to the view, mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana. Nevertheless, the Gemara qualifies this a little bit in the second of the sources. Toshma, haya over achore beis hakneses. If a person was walking behind the shul, or shahaya beis or samuch lebeis hakneses, or his house was next to his shul. I always enjoy this Gemara. Those who know the layout of my house, our house is not next to the shul. Our house is an ashul, or ashul is in a house, depending on whose vantage point you're asking from. V'shama kol shofar kol megillah. And lo and behold, the person's in his bedroom and he hears the shofar blowing in Rosh Hashanah, or he hears the Megillah being read on Purim. Im ki libo yatza v'im lav lo yatza. If he had in mind to fulfill the mitzvah, then he fulfills his obligation. If he didn't have in mind, then he doesn't fulfill his obligation. So what exactly does that mean? My lav im ki ben libo watzeitz. Doesn't this seem to indicate that you have to have in mind to fulfill the mitzvah? Which contradicts what we said before. The Gemara says, no, it doesn't mean that. Lo lishmoa. It doesn't mean that you have to have in mind to fulfill the mitzvah. What it means is you have to have in mind to hear. You have to be aware of the fact that you're hearing a shofar. It says the Gemara, lishmoa? What do you mean you have to have in mind to hear the shofar? What in the world do you think you're hearing? What else could it possibly be? It says the Gemara, v'hashoma. Answers the Gemara, sovor chamor ba'almahu. About the kid is having a tough day, and it sounds like a donkey braying. So he doesn't even realize he's hearing a shofar. So what the Gemara is saying is a chiddush. To have in mind to fulfill the mitzvah, that's not necessary. Mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana. You could be yotzei a mitzvah technically without intending to fulfill your obligation. But you have to at least be aware of what you're doing. If you don't think it's a shofar, you think it's a donkey, and it turns out to be a shofar, the Gemara doesn't address the Megillah part. It's gotta be a really bad Balkari to think that's a donkey. But you hear the shofar blowing and you think it's a donkey, so says the Gemara, that you're not yotze with. So here the Gemara is telling us what we call in Lomdos, a briska chilich, a briska distinction. There are two kinds of kavana, two halachas of kavana. There's kavana to fulfill the mitzvah, that may not be necessary. It's possible mitzvah saying shichos kavana. But there's a second, in a sense, a lower level of kavana. Kavana's hamaisa. Just to be aware of the action that you're participating in, that is absolutely necessary. And without the knowledge that you're doing the action, then for sure you would not fulfill your obligation. When I learned this Gemara the first time, so I was thinking, well, the guy's hearing the shofar and he thinks it's a donkey, so I probably had the same reaction some people are thinking here also. Come on, who's the Gemara kidding? Shofar sounds do. What's that do with a donkey? For many, many years, I also had that little bit of skepticism, but I'll tell you what happened. My sister, Akachoya. It was my first summer in NCSY Kola. We've had this chus to be there already. It's my seventh summer there. It's my first summer in NCSY Kola with my family in the Moshav Beit Meir. One morning, I was trying to sleep, and I started to hear something very, very strange. This is exactly what it sounded like. I was thinking to myself, now, last I checked, it was still Chodesh Tammuz. Maybe the Baal Tekeh was practicing a little bit for Elul. Believe it or not, it was a donkey. It was a donkey that was braying, and for some very, very strange reason, it was very makpid to get the Shvarim true. It was just perfect. I was actually timing it. The brisket kiyas, it was gewaldic. So believe it or not, Chazal knew what they were talking about. That Yom Kippur Shofar could sometimes be mixed up. One time I gave a whole drasha, the whole Rosh Hashanah drasha once. Why did a Kadosh Baruch Hu make that the donkey sounds like a shofar? What's the significance of that? Now's not the time for the drasha. Maybe we'll come back for Shana time and give you a drasha. What it has to do? I'll just drop a very, very quick hint and then we'll move back to our sugya. If you think about it, all the important donkeys in Jewish history always accompanied a shofar. Avram Avinu rode on the donkey to the Akedah. Moshe Rabbeinu leads Klal Yisrael and kills that on a donkey and leads them to Mamet Har Sinai with the shofar. And Mashiach comes on a donkey and is behind Yomahu, you talk of the shofar gadol. So there's some reason between it, but I'll leave you for food for thought as to why that connection is true. Getting back to the story. So the halacha, we know two things are true. We know, number one, that kavanas ma'isa is absolutely critical. Number two, we're not sure whether kavanah l'shem mitzvah is as critical or not. So comes the Shulchan Aruch in the third of the Mabakamos, quoted to Machokas Arishonim about this, Yesh Omrim She'ein Mitzvah Strichas Kavana. There are some who follow what seems to be the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that mitzvahs don't really require Kavana. It doesn't really matter whether you're having in mind the Shem Mitzvah. Well, okay, so we didn't say that the person's having in mind not to be Yotze. We didn't get to that part yet. We're going to get that. That may be the third level of Kavanah. By the time the Shir ends, we may have about six levels of Kavanah. So we're going to get there. Get to Shem. So Yesh Omrim She'ein Mitzvah Shichas Kavanah. Some say mitzvahs don't require Kavanah. But Yesh Omrim She'ein Kavanah. And some say that it does require Kavanah. But says B'asiyas also mitzvah. And if one doesn't have Kavanah to fulfill the mitzvah, he technically doesn't fulfill his obligation. That's very, you know, politically, Yesh Omrim this, Yesh Omrim that, tachlis, bottom line, says the Shulchan Aruch, v'chein halacha. This is the final word, that mitzvos trichos kavana. So the person who hears the shofar, even though he knows it's a shofar, but doesn't intend to fulfill the mitzvah, doesn't fulfill his obligation. The person who eats the matzah, even though he knows it's matzah, but he doesn't intend to fulfill the mitzvah, doesn't fulfill his obligation. This is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. So comes the Mishnah Berurah in the fourth of the Mamre Kamos and suggests as follows: V'chein halacha, Chosav b'magen Avram b'shem Meradvaz, d'zedafka b'mitzvos d'araisa, ava b'mitzvah d'rabbanon ein tzarech kavana. Comes the Magen Avram and says, maybe we can differentiate between Torah mitzvos and rabbinic mitzvos. T'ki shofar and matzah are mitzvos min haTorah. Other mitzvos such as Neres Chanukah, brachas, etc., are mitzvos min d'rabbanon. Why should we differentiate between the two? Apparently for the following reason. We're not sure what the halach is. Remember the Shulchan Aruch quoted, some say this and some say that. And the Shulchan Aruch says we should follow the stricter view. One could argue, not that we're convinced that the stricter view is correct. We're not sure which view is correct. And therefore we have a rule. Whenever we have a doubt concerning a mitzvah min haTorah, we always have to follow the more strict position. When we have a doubt concerning a mitzvah derabbanan and a mitzvah of rabbinic origin, then we could take the more lenient view. So what the Magen Avraham seems to be telling us is that the bottom line here, we've been talking about the topic for 20 minutes, we want a bottom line. Do mitzvahs need kavanah or do mitzvahs not need kavanah? The absolute bottom line, certain to answer to the question is, we don't know. We're not sure. It's a suffix. And therefore, matzah and shofar are l'chumrah, we have to be strict. There is Chanukah and other mitzvahs, maybe we can be a little bit more lenient. That seems to be the view of the Magen Avraham. Others disagree with the Magen Avraham, the Vilna Gaon, and others disagree and say, no, mitzvah strichas kavana means it. We paskin that way, and all mitzvahs require kavana. So whether you take the Magen Avraham's, in a sense, somewhat of a watered-down version of mitzvah strichas kavana, or others who accept mitzvah strichas kavana in the fullest sense of the word, the bottom line is, when mitzvahs come our way, we should be having kavana. We should be having kavana, intent, when we shake a lulav, and we sit in the sukkah, and we say shema, every mitzvah we do, mitzvah strichas kavana. Now the question becomes so practical. What do those words mean, mitzvah strichos kavanah? How do we make sure that we have mitzvah strichos kavanah? So sometimes when you learn the sugya mitzvah strichos kavanah, people start to conjure up these images of what we call the l'shayim yichud, the hilni michim zimmins, the long inductions I'm having in mind to do the mitzvah, the shem mitzvah, which many people have a practice of doing, particularly in the Hasidic communities. There are long, long, long introductions to mitzvahs, which all revolve around Hindi Mukharim Zuman. It's interesting that even somehow in our communities, that many of us don't say the Hindi Mukharim Zumans, but somehow a few of the Hindi Mukharim Zumans made it into a very standard Ashkenazi practice as well. Probably the most famous one was Sviras Omer. I still remember back to first grade, I can even sing it to you, but I won't. Everyone has to know what they do well and what they don't do so well. So, well, one of the things that I don't do well is sing, so I'm not even going to try, but I think everyone remembers the tune. I remember as a little kid, we had this Hinni Mucham Zuma, the phosphorus Omer. You think we were in the middle of, Mea Sharm or something. It's Hasidish to say Hinni Mucham Zuma. Safi Kabbalah, but somewhat made into our schools as well. Hinni Mucham Zuma, Lakai Mitzvah Shosphorus Omer. The other one that I know became very popular in a lot of camps was before Benji. Hinni Mucham Zuma, Lakai Mitzvah Shosphorus Omer. So those who say Hinni Mucham Zuman, Tava Lechem Bracha, those who don't, so the Nevi Yehuda writes in the Tshuva, that when we speak about mitzvah strichas kavana, it doesn't mean mitzvah strichas dibur, it doesn't mean that you have to articulate and verbalize the kavana. It's a nice thing, those who have the practice continue to do it, but in terms of halacha, mitzvah strichas kavana, kavana doesn't mean dibur, kavana means mindset, means intent. As long as the person is having in mind to fulfill the mitzvah, whether they said it or sang it or did anything of the above, one still technically fulfills the mitzvah. So we know that kavana doesn't mean literally to say it, but it does mean to think it. But what exactly does that mean to think it? So we skip down a little bit in the fourth of the Mar Makamos. It's in the, right in the middle of the Mar Makam. The first one line is Lachush. It's 3, 6, 7 lines down, if I'm not mistaken. Lachush. It's the period in the middle of that line. V'da'od. D'kosav ha'chayod d'meklal samaches. D'mat matrachinim le'lachsor v'lasos ha'mitzvah. When do we say that if a person did a mitzvah without kavana, he didn't fulfill his obligation, he would have to repeat the mitzvah? Hainu, b'makom sheish litlos, she'asiyah harishon lehoysel she'i mitzvah. That means, you know, when a situation arises where you did the mitzvah in a different context. Kagon, b'tkiyah she'hoysel islamid. You were blowing shofar to practice or to for orchestra, or b'kriyah shmash adarach limudah v'chadome, or you happen to have been learning Pashas v'schanon, which the psukim of Shema appear, and you happen just by chance to be reading the psukim, there's a context. There's a reason to believe that you didn't really have in mind the Shem Mitzvah. You were doing it for some other reason. Aval, says the Chayyadam, im kori kriyashma kederash and akorim b'gatfila. Imagine a person comes to shul, and he's davening shachris, davening ma'ariv, and he gets the kriyashma. And the moment before he got the kriyashma, he didn't quite think, l'shei mitzvahs, kriyashma. You're going to tell me he's not yotzei, says the Chayyadam. Of course he's yotzei. That's not the sugya of mitzvah, strichas kavana. All the cases in the Gemara of Tzrichas Kavana, Eitzel's Kavana, are cases where there's something externally going on. The person is trying to practice, the person is learning Pashas V'schanon, somebody's forcing him to eat matzah, there are other things going on. When a person comes to shul to do a mitzvah, even though he didn't have in mind that specific second to be yotzei the mitzvah, so the Mishnah Berurah continues, v'chein she'achol matzah, otoko v'not alulav, af al-pi shelo kibin lotzeis yotzah. Even though at that moment he didn't actually formulate, not only verbalize, didn't even formulate in his mind the Shem Mitzvah, yotzah, of course he fulfills the mitzvah. Why? Sherei mishum ze osek de lotzeis, af al-pi she'en mechavin, ad kan l'shonuf. Baruch Hashem, this we could breathe a sigh of relief. If not for this Chayodom, we'd be in a big, big trouble. Every mitzvah you have to mamish, have in mind, l'shem mitzvah, and think about it. Says the Chayodom, just do mitzvahs normally. Just come to shul and say Shema, come to shul and hear the shofar, come to shul and hear the Megillah. You yotzei the mitzvah as long as you're coming primarily for the purpose of doing the mitzvah. Even if you didn't actually articulate it, not only in words, not even in thought, you would be yotzei the mitzvah. However, is that what I'm sorry? Excellent, very good. So there's a whole question about mitzvahs b'om l'chaveiro, where the mitzvahs, Achichas Kavan applies there. There are many poskim who say that mitzvahs b'om l'chaveiro are different than mitzvahs b'om l'machom, because mitzvahs b'om l'chaveiro are more result-oriented rather than action-oriented. The point of the mitzvah b'om l'chaveiro is, bottom line, to make sure he gets the check. Whether, let's say for argument's sake, I write the check, I put it down on the table, and he picks it up. So you're going to say, oh, well, b'di'evet, it's no good. I got to give the check back again to b'yotzei the mitzvah, so that's absurd. The mitzvah on the chaveir is to make sure that he gets the check. So there's no need to have kavan according to many, because kavan is when you're dealing with a mice and not when you're dealing with the result. So comes the Mishnah Berurah, back at the end of the fourth of the Mar Makamos, it's 3 lines from the bottom. B'chol zel linim b'di'evet. So it's the end of the line. Abal lechatchila vaday tzarech lizor lechavim kol mitzvah latzeisha dechobas a mitzvah v'chein hetigul kol acharonim b'sifreim. Says Mishnah Bura, the bottom line is, if a person came to shul and heard shofar, even though they were quote unquote spacing out, they didn't quite have it mind l'shem mitzvah, they're still yelled to the mitzvah. But lechatchila, the proper way to perform mitzvahs is, of course, to actually formally think about it. Not necessary to articulate it. Those who have that practice, that's fine. But at least to try to think about mitzvahs before we do the mitzvahs. So here we have now different levels in halacha lechatchila in contrast to b'di'evit. Lechatchila, one should try to be mechaven literally before every mitzvah. B'di'evit, as long as the mitzvah is done in the context of normal performance, one would fulfill the mitzvah. If the mitzvah is done out of the context of normal performance, he's blowing shofar to hear the sounds, he's hearing, practicing, reading the Megillah, not for the mitzvah, he's eating matzah, of course somebody's forcing him. Whenever the mitzvah is done for external reasons, then we run into an issue of mitzvah sirchas kavanah. So up until now, we've been talking about a global question. We've been lumping together the mitzvah of matzah and shofar. And so all the mitzvahs are on equal footing in terms of this discussion. But now we get to a very specific mitzvah, the fifth of the Gemara Mekomos. The Gemara quotes the Masechet Brachos, Tanu Rabbanan, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Ad Kan Tzricha Kavanas Halev, Divi Rabbi Meir, Amar Rav Halacha Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir tells us that when one says the pasuk of Shema Yisrael, one is required to have in mind Kavana, intending, concentrating on what one is saying. And this is the accepted halacha. The Rav Gemara paskens explicitly that we follow this view of Rabbi Meir. You have to have kavana when you say Shema. So the Shulchan Aruch in the sixth of the Gemara Mekomos quotes this: Hakorei Shema v'lo kiven liba pasuk rishon shushma Yisrael lo yatzei yadei chalasa. If a person said Shema and didn't intend to say the Shema, he doesn't fulfill the mitzvah. And the question is, what is the significance of this statement? We've been learning for the last half hour about mitzvah, strichas, kavanah, matzah, and shofar, and lulav. All the mitzvahs have been thrown together. And then all of a sudden from left field, we start to hear something about Kriya Shema. What is the significance of Kriya Shema? So the Mishnah Berurah in the seventh of the Gemara Mekomos quotes from the Rashba, one of the Rishonim, the following significant distinction. Kiven libo, kavanah zu ha'amurakan, einenu ha'kavanah ha'amur b'sivdalet. Says the Mishnah Berurah, the kavanah that we're speaking about has absolutely nothing to do with what we've been speaking about until now. Remember we said before we had a brisket Torah, there are two kinds of kavanas. There's kavanah to fulfill the mitzvah, and then we spoke about kavanah of the mice of the action. Guess what? We're about to outbrisk the briskers. There are three dinim. There's an additional level of kavanah. And what is that? So in the previous discussion, up until now, says the Mishnah Berurah, Dishamu kavanah. That's for all of the Kriya Shema, for all the mitzvahs for that matter. We're going to skip in the brackets. This is the different type of kavana, namely, this is a totally different type of kavana. This is what's called paying attention to what you're doing or what you're saying. Up until now, what we're talking about is as follows. I'm about to embark upon doing a mitzvah. I'm about to hear the shofar. So for one split second, I click in and I say or I think, "Kinyan Mechum Zum L'Shem Mitzvah." That's it. That's mitzvah shirtos kavana. That's all that's necessary by most mitzvahs. By Kriya Shema, there's a second halacha. Not only do I have to have in mind to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, but I have to be paying attention as I say the words of Kriya Shema to what I am saying. That's a whole different level of kavanah. Now please don't misquote me on this. During Tkiya Shofar, it doesn't matter what you're thinking about, you're yotze the mitzvah. As long as the rabbi makes his announcements, everyone have in mind to be yotze the mitzvah shofar, everyone has in mind, I'm yotze shofar, the batakeh is blowing away, and I'm thinking about why davening's taking so long. So technically, I'm yotze the mitzvah of Tkiya Shofar. Is that the nice way to do it? Not necessarily, but I'm yotze the mitzvah. Or when it comes to matzah. So right before I'm eating the matzah, I'm thinking, Himni Mucham Zumun, I make my bracha, lechilas matzah, I'm definitely doing it as a mitzvah. Nobody's forcing me to eat it. I'm eating the matzah l'shem mitzvah, and what am I thinking about while I'm eating the matzah? I'm thinking about, why is the Seder taking so long? Whatever other things is taking so long. So I have other things, or I'm thinking about why this year's matzah is not as good as last year's matzah is. Or I start to complain about what brand of matzah this is. How come we didn't get the other? I shouldn't be talking at that point, but again, we'll leave that all to your imagination. But the bottom line is, my mind is nowhere near Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's about as far as Yetzias Mitzrayim as it can get. I'm Yotzei Mitzvah. You know why? Because I did L'Shem Mitzvah. I know what I'm doing. I know I'm eating matzah. and I'm doing it l'shei mitzvah. I know exactly what's going on. I'm intending properly, but I am not paying attention b'shas ma'aseh while I'm doing the mitzvah. I fulfill the mitzvah. This is where Kriya Shema differs from all other mitzvahs. Kriya Shema, even if you know what you're doing, you know what you're saying, and you're having in the mind l'shei mitzvah, that's not enough. Kriya Shema, you have to be, as the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Rashba, l'hizbonein v'lasum alibo. It's not just intention, but it's concentration. Intention is the first half of the sugya. Concentration is the second half. Kriya Shema is different. Why is Kriya Shema different? Well, the kachu li'ikuvah rak v'pasuk rishon, sheyesh bo ikar kabbalah samach v'shamayim v'yachdus yisparach. How in the world can you say Kriya Shema without concentrating on what you're saying? What is the essence of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema? The essence of Kriya Shema is Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim, is accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Ribbono Shel Olam. How is that taking place if you are saying the words Shema Yisrael and you're thinking about your plans for the day? That's a chisaron in the etzem Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim. So the nature of Kriya Shema is a fundamentally different type of a mitzvah. If we want to put it into Lomdisha terminology, we could say as follows. Most mitzvahs are mitzvahs ayidei maaseh. The mitzvah shebaguf, the mitzvah that involves an action, the action being either literally shaking a lulav, eating matzah, or some stating of words. But when it comes to Kriya Shema, it's a different kind of a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah shebalev. The fundamental mitzvah of Kriya Shema is the Kabbalah of Malchus Shemayim. You have to express with your words what you're thinking in your mind. If you're not thinking in your mind, then you're basically accomplishing nothing. Then you're just saying words from Chumash. The mitzvah of Kriya Shema is a different mitzvah, and therefore it requires a different level of kavanah. So we have really three different types of kavanah. There's the absolute bare minimum kavanah. That's kavanah of just a maisa, just to know this is a shofar, not a donkey. That's not negotiable. Then you have kavanah number two, l'shei mitzvah. That's negotiable. That's a machlokas. But we pass in, that's also necessary. Then kavanah number three, which is unique for Kriya Shema, that not only do you have to know what you're doing, not only do you have to intend to what you're doing, but you have to be concentrate on what you're doing as well, at least for the first pasuk of Kriya Shema. But now we move on to the second page of the Mamre Kamos, where we're also introduced to a different level of Kavanah, an additional dimension of Kavanah. The Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim, in Siman Kuf Aleph, Sif Aleph, HaMespalel Tzorach Sheyechavim B'chol HaBrachos. When a person daven Shemona Esrei, they're supposed to have a Kavanah for the entire Shemona Esrei. But let's say for some strange reason the person is not able to have kavanah for the entire Shemona Esrei. Okay, so don't feel too bad. The Shulchan Aruch is entertaining that as a possibility, a remote possibility, that maybe a person is not having kavanah for the entire Shemona Esrei. At least the first bracha you should have in mind for. But im lo kivin ba'avos, if you didn't have in mind, you didn't daven kavanah, at least the first brachas, afa pishakivim b'chol ha'shar, even though you picked up and the rest of it was okay, yachzor v'yis palel. The Shulchan Aruch paskin, you should daven over again, because you didn't really fulfill the mitzvah of tefillah. The brach, the kavanah of avos, is absolutely what we call ma'akid b'di'evan, even after the fact, it can disqualify the mitzvah. You can't blame the Shulchan Aruch, he's pulling directly from the Gemara Maseches Brachas. Comes the Ramah, we can give a little bit of a breathe, of a sigh of relief, but it should probably come with a little bit of a crest, a little bit of a groan also. Says the Ramah, v'ha'idna, that today, ein chozun b'shvil chisaren kavanah. Great kula, great leniency, the Ramah says today, you don't have to repeat the Shemona Esrei because you didn't have kavanah. Don't feel so bad until you get to the end of the Ramah. And then the Ramah says, and why not? The halach is you have to repeat. The Gemara says explicitly you have to repeat. The Ramah says, don't bother wasting your time. Sha'af b'chazara karavu shelo yechaven. He says, you're going to daven, we'll tell you, give you a psak daven a second time. What's going to happen? You think this is going to happen. You're not going to have kavanah a second time also. Kei lama yachzor. They're more with a retired question. What are you gaining for? What are you gaining to daven over again? You're going to be right to that. You spend the entire day davening Shemona Esrei each time with less kavanah than the time before. So the Ramah says, what are you going to do? So don't repeat the Shemona Esrei today. But the bottom line is, I mean, it's nice for them to tell us this, but the bottom line is that if the person davened without kavanah, there's something really lacking in the Shemona Esrei, that he didn't really fulfill the mitzvah properly. Kavanah is le'ikuvah. What does this mean when we speak about kavanah in Shemona Esrei? What do the words mean? So let's go back to our original list of kavanahs, go back to our checklist. Well, does that mean you have to be aware of the fact that you're davening? Does that mean you have to have in mind the Shem Mitzvah? Does that mean the concentration of Kriya Shema? what exactly is the term kavanah? Because we're seeing the term kavanah means different things in different contexts. So what does kavanah and tefillah mean? You know, we have so many speeches, so many drushas, so many people talk about kavanah, kavanah, kavanah. Stop and ask, what do the words mean? What does that mean when we speak about kavanah and tefillah? So the Rambam elaborated upon Reb Chaim. I didn't put the whole Reb Chaim. I didn't put any of the Reb Chaim under Mam Komos. It would have taken two long pages. So we'll say it over this partition about that. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, Reb Chaim Brisker explains, based on the Rambam, that there are really two types of kavanah that are playing out in terms of Shmoneh Esrei, in terms of kavanah of tefillah. The one kavanah that is absolutely critical, non-negotiable, for the entire Shmoneh Esrei, says Reb Chaim, based on the words of the Rambam, is the cognizance the person is standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the base level of kavanah for tefillah. If a person thinks that he's just stopped saying words, reading words out of a siddur, and it doesn't have that idea of being omed b'fnei hamelech, that he's standing in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, says Reb Chaim, that lack of kavanah completely invalidates Shmoneh Esrei. To the point, says Reb Chaim, it doesn't matter whether that's for the first word or for the last word of the Shmoneh Esrei. It's not considered to be davening. That's just saying words. That's a lack of that type of kavanah is considered to be not a tefillah altogether. That's what Reb Chaim says based on the words of the Rambam. The Chazon Ish writes in his notes in the back of Reb Chaim, he says, Reb Chaim, Heiliger Reb Chaim, there's nobody who ever davened your standard of davening. He said, you're going to tell me that a person has in mind from beginning to end, he's omed b'fnei hamelech, his mind doesn't veer for anything. It's impossible. It can't be. Reb Chaim said it. The story goes, they say that Reb Chaim used to daven a fairly short Shmoneh Esrei. So some say it was Reb Chaim l'shitoso, because he held that if a person loses that kavanah even for a moment, so it's like Shmoneh Esrei, so you gotta daven quickly. So Reb Chaim used to daven quickly. But again, whether the story is true or not, I can't tell you. But that's Reb Chaim explains based on the Rambam. That's the first level of kavanah. The second kavanah, says Reb Chaim based on the Rambam, is concentrating on the words, the meaning of the words. And that's critical for the first bracha. That's similar to the kavanah of Kriya Shema. That kavanah that's necessary, and when a person is saying the words to be paying attention to what he or she is saying, that's the kavanah that we're talking about that's critical at least for the first bracha Shmoneh Esrei. So now we have really, I think we have four or five, depending on how we're counting, many, many different levels of kavanah, and the word kavanah meaning a lot of different things in different contexts. We saw the base, absolute base level of kavanah, just to know that you're doing an action. Just be aware that it's not a donkey, that it's a shofar. That's a given by all mitzvahs. Then we have kavanah lotseis, which is the machlokas in 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, where that's necessary. Then we have the kavanah of concentration during the first pasuk of Kriya Shema. Then we have the kavanas omed lifnei hamelech, at least the bare minimum cognizance that you're standing lifnei hamelech, whether Reb Chaim's understanding that it means literally every word, or the Chazon Ish, somewhat of a watered down version of that, at least kind of you're omed lifnei hamelech. You have a basic understanding that you're omed lifnei hamelech, even if your mind may perhaps wander for a little bit, as the Ramah acknowledged in fact is taking place. And then we have the kavanah for the first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, which may really be very similar to the kavanah of Kriya Shema. So we have a lot of different kinds of kavanah that are playing out in terms of mitzvahs. And now we have a last possible type of kavanah, and that appears in the Shulchan Aruch in the 9th of the Maram Kamos. Yechaven b'sa'atfo shetzivon ha-kadosh baruch hu l'sa'atif bo kadeh shenizko kol mitzvosav la'asosam. The Shulchan Aruch appears in the Tzitzis, where the Shulchan Aruch tells us when a person puts on Tzitzis, they should have in mind why they're doing the mitzvah of Tzitzis. They're doing the mitzvah of Tzitzis to remember to do all the mitzvahs, as the Torah says, the mantizkru, vasisim, etc. So this is a whole different story. This is a very, very different type of kavanah. This is not a kavanah of making sure I know what I'm doing. This is not a kavanah of concentration. This is not a kavanah, let's say, sedei mitzvah. This is what we call kavanah letam ha-mitzvah. I should have in mind not what I'm doing, but why I'm doing what I'm doing. What am I putting on tzitzis? Why am I doing the following mitzvah? And the Shulchan Aruch tells us, let me tell you why. You're doing it for the following reason. Now I have a problem with the statement of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is a sefer halacha. The Shulchan Aruch's job is not to give us mussar. It's not to give us a machshava shia. The Shulchan Aruch is telling us what you do from the moment you wake up till you go to sleep. How do you perform mitzvahs? The Shulchan Aruch here seems to be veering from that goal and giving you a little bit of a musa shmuz and telling you, by the way, when you do tzitzis, make sure you know why you're doing it, all the great reasons. What does that have to do with the mitzvah? To fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. Four-pointed strings, tzitzis kosher, you did a mitzvah and finished. Why is the Shulchan Aruch telling you to look deeper into the mitzvah in order to understand why you're doing what you're doing? So comes the Mishnah Berurah in the 10th of the Maram HaKamos and tells us, that there's a halachic reason for this statement. Yechavim b'satfo, v'yomulvar ha-kavona she-tzorach l'chavim b'levisha l'kayim mitzvah. That's beyond the regular mitzvah shtrichas kavana. This has nothing to do with what we've been talking about for the last 40 minutes. Because of a Bach, what this means is as follows, based on the Bach, Shekein Adin, that there are three mitzvahs that are singled out in the Torah. One of them is tzitzis, one of them is film, one of them is sukkah. Af b'shar mitzvahs yotzei, af shalom b'chavim b'dover, kim sh'osa mitzvah, l'shem Hashem, sh'tziv l'asosa. Most mitzvahs, I just have to have in mind, I'm doing it for the purpose of a mitzvah. I don't have to think about why I'm doing what I'm doing. However, hanach shayni, these three mitzvahs are singled out. Tzitzis, tefillin, and sukkah. Why? It says in the Chumash, the tzitzis ksiv l'man tizkeru. The Torah says explicitly, put on tzitzis l'man tizkeru, so that you should remember to do the other mitzvahs. Uba tefillin l'man tiyatas shabbificha. Uba sukkah l'man yedidara seichem. It says it explicitly by three mitzvahs that you have to have in mind not only what you're doing, but the additional component, why you're doing. So it says in Mishnah Berurah, don't ask the kasha on me, don't ask the kasha on the Shulchan Aruch, ask the kasha on the Torah. The Rebbe Shlom said it. The Rebbe Shlom says explicitly, you have to not only know what you're doing, but these three mitzvahs, these are what we call the three lema'an mitzvahs. There are some who add on possibly the mitzvah of achilas matzah also, which is, according to some, the reason why we say, Rabbi Gavil, Hay Omer, Koshlo Omer Shlosha Dvarim, we speak about not only what we're doing, but we talk about why we're doing as well. That's already a question, whether that's what Rabbi Gavil was all about. But I'll quote part of these three mitzvahs, so kavana, not just the shei mitzvah is necessary, but kavana is the tam ha-mitzvah, for the reason, the rationale, what I'm trying to accomplish with the mitzvah, is critical as well. Mishnah Berurah then quotes from the later poskim, it's not in the akad b'di'evad. If a person didn't have all these grandiose thoughts in mind, he would technically still fulfill the mitzvah, but it's definitely a lechatchila, even min ha-Torah. It's for this reason that I personally have a practice that even though I don't say all the other Hinni Mucham Zumans, I even stop singing the Sefirah Omer one, but one of the Hinni Mucham Zumans, without saying the whole Hinni Mucham Zuman, but I say a short part of it, is by Sukkah. Many people have a practice when they come into the Sukkah, many people say Ushpizin, they say all kind of other different tefillahs, so I kind of streamline most of it, but the part that I do say is, I say Hinni Mucham, I'm about to do the mitzvah of Sukkah's Teh Kishim Yom. Why is that? Because it says in the other pasuk, the man yedid derasecher, so that way I know for sure that I'm thinking about it, at least for a minute when I sit down the sukkah, so at least I'm chapping that mitzvah min haTorah of the man yedid derasecher. So for the tzitzis, for the tefillin, for the sukkah, so why don't you try to do this? Every once in a while, one of my kids catches on and says, Abba, you don't say those things. The chassidim say that. Don't ask me to catch it. I'll explain the love to you later. But the bottom line is, those mitzvahs are perhaps different from other mitzvahs. So really, to sum up what we have here as a multifaceted dimension of kavana, you know, we may have come in thinking that kavana sounds so easy. Kavana, just think what you're doing. Well, you have to think 10 times to think what you're supposed to be thinking about what you're doing. So what exactly does kavana mean? So we saw kavana number one, make sure you know you're doing an action. Make sure you're not hearing a donkey. Make sure it's a shofar. Number two, kavana l'shei mitzvah. It's machlokes. Is it necessary? The rices, the rabbanim, sovik, bad, a lot of lomdas. Then we have the kavana, the unique kavana of kriyishma, which is kavana of concentration limited to the first pasuk. We have the unique dimensions of kavana when it comes to tefillah, the cognizance of Omer b'fnei HaMelech, and then the additional dimension of concentration on the first bracha, at least as a minimum. Now we have the fifth or sixth, depending on how you're counting, the kavana of ta'am ha-mitzvah, of the reason, the rationale, what the mitzvah is trying to accomplish, above and beyond the actual mitzvah itself, which is limited to these three, the three leman mitzvahs, tzitzis, tefillin, and sukkah, maybe matzah, maybe one or two others we can put in as well. But a kopan, the term kavana means different things in different contexts. We have to take now a step back, as really a sense, across the bridge from the world of pure technical halacha to the world a little bit more machshav and thought and musr and debir chizuk, as to where does all this come from? This whole idea of supposed to be thinking this, I'm supposed to be concentrating on this, I'm supposed to be having in mind this. I mean, if you look in the Chumash itself, the Torah says pretty clearly, Ukshatim no sedecha, put on tefillin, and the Torah says, Vechaltim is about the rechta bench, and the Torah says, Veshach, like I say, Kriyashma, and the Torah says, Yamatza. The Torah speaks primarily about maisim, about actions. The Torah doesn't speak all that much about what I'm supposed to be thinking about at the time doing these maisim. So where does the second component, the second dimension of Kavana all stem from? There is a machlokis, the Rambam and the Ramban, about how to interpret Pshat and the Pasuk, a very important Pasuk that we say every day, at least twice a day. V'hoya im Shabbat Yishma Mitzvosai, the second parasha of Kriyashma, we speak about our obligation to be ula'ovdo b'chol levavchem. to worship, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of our hearts. B'chol levavcha. We have to stop and ask ourselves, what does that mean? We know the 613 mitzvahs. Yeah, we have that already. We have the list of what we have to do, what we're not allowed to do. What does l'avdu b'chol levavchem really mean? So the Rambam actually interpreted l'avdu b'chol levavchem based on the Gemara Maseches Tainis to be referring to avodah shemalev, meaning tefillah. This is the source, the Rambam says, for the whole notion of davening. The Rambam has a unique shita. The Rambam says that min haTorah, we are obligated to daven each and every day, not three times a day. Three times a day is midrabanan, but to daven each and every person in a personal speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a daily basis. That's the avodah b'chol levavchem of the Rambam. And the Ramban disagrees, and again, for another time, another place, the importance of that machlokes Ram and the Ramban. But the Ramban says, so what does l'avdu b'chol levavchem really mean? So one suggestion that the Ramban says is, l'avdu b'chol levavchem means, when you ovid Hashem, you're doing it, literally, b'chol lev. What does b'chol lev mean? In kavana, means intent, thought. What is a person bringing to the mitzvah? Not just what the person is physically doing in terms of action, but the fact that a person is being ovid as Hashem b'chol lev, that practically in the halachic universe expresses itself in terms of kavana. When a person is doing a mitzvah without kavana, he's being ovid Hashem, but it's hard to call it being ovid Hashem b'chol levavchem. My heart's not in it, my heart is somewhere else, I'm concentrating on something else, yes, I'm going through the actions, the motions of doing the mitzvahs, in Eved Hashem I am, but in Oved Hashem B'chol Lev, there's something which is significantly lacking. So according to the Ramban, we have a little bit of a Pesach, a little bit of an opening, as to where the whole notion of Kavanah really stems from. All the nuances and lumdus and different types of Kavanah are really expressions of the same idea of the B'chol Levavchem, the different dimensions of how we're Oved Hashem, not just with our actions, but literally b'chol levaveinu, to be Oved Hashem in terms of our entire heart, our entire mindset, in terms of our intention. This is the Torah's intention with the phrase l'avdo b'chol levavchem. When we think of the phrase l'avdo or l'avdo b'chol levavchem, avoda, so that term doesn't always conjure up very pleasant images in our mind. Even the term eved, we sometimes speak about, you know, being eved Hashem. You know, we live in a world where you hear the word eved, and that's not the most positive image. You know, you think of somebody, a slave, suffering, you know, in chains, getting beaten. That's not exactly the image that we like to identify ourselves with. And yet, the Torah speaks about it many, many times. It requires of us, demands of us to become Avdei Hashem. And the question is, what exactly does that term mean, to be an Eved Hashem, in the context of the world of Halacha, the world of Machshava, the world of Hashkafa, which is really everything that we're speaking about this morning, what our minds are supposed to be like? Avdus is a terrible thing. It's a terrible tragedy when a person is an Eved to another human being. The reason why it's such a tragedy is because we are supposed to be Avadim to a finished Baruch Hu. Person is supposed to be an Eved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the corollary of that is being an Eved to another person is so diametrically opposed to everything we stand for, specifically because Kili Bnei Yisrael Avadim Avadahem, say Chazal, V'lo Avadim Avadim. We're not supposed to be an Eved, to another human being, but we are, yes, supposed to be an Eved to Hashem. What does that mean? If we had to really summarize, really encapsulate, what does it mean to be an Eved? To be an Eved means that everything is done for the Adam. That's what it really means to be an Eved. Everything is done for the Master. The servant's complete essence, everything, top to bottom, is always Lasos Ritzon Adonav. That's his goal, that's his very Mahus, his very existence is to serve his Master. And that's what the Kodesh Baruch Hu comes to us. The Kodesh Baruch Hu says that I want you to be L'Ovdoi B'chol Levavchem. I'm asking you, I'm commanding of you, I'm demanding of you to be an Eved Hashem, which means to be completely subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One would think that that type of a mindset would be a very depressing mindset. One would think, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking away my very being, my very essence. I'm going to be a miserable person, alright, I'm going to be an Eved Hashem, and I'm going to mope about it for my entire life. And yet we find the exact opposite is true. The Torah says in Parshas Kisavo, that one of the reasons why the tochacha, we read one of the tochachas yesterday, but one of the tochachas in Parshas Kisavo, befalls us as the Torah, tachas asher lo avadatas Hashem lokecha b'simcha v'tuv levav, that we didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'simcha, with joy, with excitement, with eslavos, with enthusiasm, Isn't that a contradiction in terms? How can a person be asked to be an Eved and still to be B'simcha B'tuv Leivav? So the Gemara says, not only is it not a contradiction in terms, it's the greatest statement in Avdus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Avdus, strangely enough, being an Eved usually makes a person miserable, yet when it comes to being an Eved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the exact opposite is true. The greater Eved that a person is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greater joy that comes about with it. When a person is experiencing true Avdus LaHashem, the corollary will be true Simcha LaHashem as well. It's strange, it boggles the mind, because we have a mindset of Avdus, and we think of Avadim, we think of an Eved Labas of Adam. So then it's true, the greater Eved you are to a human being, the more miserable of a state you find yourself in. But when it's not an Avdus to Bosom Adam, it's Avdus to Kadosh Baruch Hu, then the exact opposite is true as well. We are at a very unique time during the year, the weeks between Pesach and Shavuos, which are really the celebration of this idea of Avdus LaHashem. We know that when Klal Yisrael were taken out of Mitzrayim, so the Medrash tells us that on that night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, even Paro understood that when it's time to free the Jewish people, they're no longer servants, no longer slaves to a human being. It doesn't mean now they're free to do whatever they want. The Medrash recounts that Paro was looking for Moshe in the streets. He said, "Ad kan hayisem avadim leParo, mikan ve'elach etem avadim shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Until now you've been servants to me, now you become an Eved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu." So somebody listening to that would have said, "Well, that's a pretty bad deal. We were once avadim, we're still avadim." No, it's a fundamentally different kind of an avdus. Avdus LaHashem brings with it Selsa V'Simcha, brings with it Simcha V'Tuv Leivav, brings with it real true internal joy, unlike the exact antithesis of an Avdus L'Bas of Adam. So the seeds of Cheirus, of true Cheirus, were planted Davk at the moment when we become Avdei Hashem. And in fact, it's not a surprise that the opening words we say of Hallel, when we start off the Pesach season, we start off the celebrating of Chesman Chiruseinu, we open up with the Halalukas, Halu Avdei Hashem. Those are the first out of our mouth. Because the first thing to be happy about, the first thing to be thankful about, is the fact that we're Avdei Hashem. Now, as the weeks pass between Pesach and Shavuos, so we have to now figure out, practically speaking, how are those grandiose plans of Avdei Hashem going to play out? You know, Pesach night, we spoke in very broad terms. We're now B'nai Chorin, we're now free, we're now Avdei Hashem, it's so beautiful, so wonderful, the Tachlis. What does it mean practically? How does a person express his being an Eved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So it took 7 weeks. Now Klal Yisrael are getting ready, almost there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, now I'm going to give you, this is the way your Avdus LaHashem spells out. And this expresses itself through Shmiras HaTorah V'HaMitzvos. The mitzvos, each and every mitzvah, each and every ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we do, each mitzvah is really HaKadosh Baruch Hu's guidebook for us. He's teaching us about what it means to be an Eved Hashem. Each mitzvah that we do brings us one step closer to being a more complete and more full of an Eved Hashem. And as such, the corollary is that each one of the mitzvahs brings us to a higher level of simcha and a higher level of joy as well. That it's not just the song, Ivdus Hashem B'Simcha, but it's really the true, it's everything that we stand for. That it's an Avdus Hashem, and it's a tremendous Avdus Dafkut Mitach Simcha. In order for this Avdus to work, in order for the Avdus to really translate to be an Ivdus Hashem B'Simcha, so it's prefaced with the words of the Ramban, it has to be La'avdu B'Cholav Havchem. If it's a half-baked Avdus, then it's going to be a half-baked Simcha. If the Avdus isn't complete, if there's not an absolute 100% commitment, so then we take any commitment we can take. We'll take a 1%, we'll take 1%. But a person has to realize that the level of commitment the person has to Shmiras HaTorah V'Mitzvos, the level of enthusiasm a person brings into Shmiras HaTorah V'Mitzvos, will reap the benefits in terms of La'avdu B'chol Lev Avchem, will end up translating to the Simcha B'chol Lev as well. So hopefully during these weeks of Shmiras HaOmer, today we take a little bit of a pause in terms of Lag B'Omer, which has really its own avoda to it. But also, it helps us, it's not for nothing that Lag B'Omer is just towards the two-thirds point in Spiris Omer. It's a little bit of a wake-up call to tell us, okay, we're getting close to Shavuos. Shavuos is right around the corner. 2+ weeks till Shavuos, so we got to start making plans. Got to start having the kavanas. Got to start working on the blintzes and other things, cheesecakes, whatever. That's a different part of Shavuos. But the real part of Shavuos, the part that really is going to carry the day, is it's time to start thinking about what does it mean for me to be an Eved Hashem? How can I work a little bit more in La'avdu B'chol Lev Avchem? How can my kavanas and my machshavas, and how can I somehow, some of those distractions, some of those things all around us that tend to take us away from Avedas Hashem, how can I get back on track? Hopefully Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us that ability to put our avoda back on track. And Kadosh Baruch Hu will grant us his blessing. The avoda will ultimately become an avoda sheyesh b'simcha.